Well, welcome and good morning. How many of you spent time in prayer this week? I want to see a show of hands. Great. I love it. It is so cool to see hands raised of who has spent time in prayer over the last week. And my hope is that maybe it was even more than that, and that prayer in each of our lives would continue to grow, because we've been in a four-week series called Let's Pray. And I want to remind us that there's two reasons that we're doing this series. One is because I hope you guys hear me as I talk over and over and over again about the importance of prayer. Redundancy, especially for us in high school, can be so important. Sometimes we need to hear things time and time again to make it really kind of hit home. And so we talk about prayer a ton. I tell us about prayer a ton. I teach about prayer a ton. I remind us that I want us to graduate this place as what? Prayerful people. And I do that not just to annoy you guys or feel like, man, Chad says that all the time, but I do it because I really want that concept to penetrate each of your hearts. And so when I asked this morning how many of you spent time in prayer this week, my hope would be that if I were to ask that every week, that 100% of us would raise our hands. Maybe you spent a minute in prayer last week, and this week maybe you spend 2 minutes. And I recognize that prayer can be awkward, prayer can seem one-sided, prayer can seem confusing. A lot of us maybe don't know where to start, what to do, or how to pray, or why to pray. But as a Christian, prayer is how we communicate with God. Prayer is a conversation between us and God. One of my best friends in the entire world, my brother Bevan. You want to know why we are best friends? Because we have conversations together. Because we talk to each other. Because I tell him the things that are going on in my life. Because I ask him for advice. Because I cry to him when Erica and I are maybe going through a hard time, or maybe my job is hard, or I'm having a hard time raising my daughter, or whatever it looks like. Bevan is my best friend because we have conversation together. We talk to each other. We communicate with one another. I go to him with my vulnerabilities. I open my ears to hearing what he has to say to me in my own life. It'd be really hard and almost impossible to have a close relationship with somebody who we don't communicate with. Would we all agree? Right? Like, it'd be really hard for one of us to sit here and say, yeah, I'm really close to this person over here, but I haven't talked to them in 3 years. I don't know their phone number. I don't know their birthday. And I really don't even know where they live anymore. But that is a person who I am in close relationship with. That would be silly, right? Prayer is how we communicate with God. It's how we're with God. It's how we continue to grow a relationship with him. And if we don't pray, then I could argue that maybe our relationship with God isn't maybe where it needs to be. You could also argue that as Christians, there's nothing more important than prayer. And so in this series, which this morning is week 4 of our 4-week series, so this morning we're kind of wrapping up our series on prayer, we're going to be doing a fourth prayer practice. And the whole point of the series wasn't so much really to teach us what prayer is, although we've talked about those things, wasn't so much to teach us why we pray, although we've talked about why we pray, but the series has really been more of a series to figure out how we can pray. And throughout this series, I've introduced us this morning will be the fourth prayer practice of creative ways to pray and be with God. It doesn't have to be breakfast, lunch, and dinner, starting with Dear Lord, ending with Amen. But prayer can take on so many forms, from reading, to listening, to bowing, to sitting, to standing, to writing, to drawing, to singing. That prayer can take on so many different forms. And so my hope is that throughout this series, you have learned some creative ways to be with God. Because if God is the one who we surrender our lives to, if God is the one that we would give our lives for, then it's important for us to spend time with him. And so that's really been the core of this series, is figuring out creative ways to commune with God. If you look in the back, you'll see that I've set up week 1, 2, 3, and 4. Everybody look back there for me. And you'll see on the table week 1, 2, 3, and 4. Those are the four prayer challenges from each week of this series. And this is a series where I don't want to just teach. This is a series where I want us to interact and a series where I've wanted us to actually practically pray. My hope, and I say this not just for this series, but anytime we're here on Sundays or Wednesdays, that this is not a place where we come just to hear, but this is a place where we are also doers. It wouldn't make a ton of sense if all we did is every Sunday came and sat down, took notes, walked out those doors and did nothing. Oh, awesome, I learned so much about prayer, but we never implemented it. Oh my gosh, I learned what service looks like, but we never served. Oh God, it's so great to get in my Bible, but we never get into our Bible. Oh, I learned what it's like to be a good son or daughter or to not lie to my parents, but we didn't implement it. That would be silly. Now my hope is that Sundays isn't just a waste of time where you guys just come and listen to a good-looking speaker and take good notes, but a time where you actually come, listen in order to go do. Does that make sense? And so those prayer practices in the back, or the prayer challenges in the back, we've set up for you, or I've set up for you, to take something home each week to actually pray throughout the week. So, week number one, we talked about this prayer card called Lectio Divina, which almost none of us have heard about before. This is a prayer primarily focused on reading, where you take a passage in Scripture, any passage you want in Scripture. It can be a whole chapter. It could be three verses, and you read it three times. This prayer practice is more of a structured prayer practice. It's split into four pillars, and in each pillar, you've got readings, contemplation, and prayer. So for those of us that like structure, for those of us that like reading, for those of us that need to sit down with kind of a certain set of guidelines, I would encourage that Lectio Divina is for a lot of people like that, or times in our life where we just need a little bit more structure. We use Psalm 103 as kind of our base passage that we studied in week number one. And in week number one in the back, you'll see a prayer challenge booklet where it walks you through Psalms 1 through 8, 1 or 1 through 7, one a day for 7 days for the entire week. There's a little journal back there where you can practice Lectio Divina one day each week. And so I'd encourage you, if you haven't done that, if you weren't here for this week, it's not too late to engage. Go take one of those and practice. See what that is like. Do one day, do 2 days. Week number two, we're in Psalm 23. You'll notice that we've been in a psalm every single week because psalms, we've learned, teach us to do what? They teach us to pray, right? That psalms teach us to pray. And so we've been in a psalm every single week as another way to teach us to pray. So week two, we did imaginative prayer. Now, this is completely opposite of week one's prayer practice because part of it is that we're all different. And prayer doesn't have to work a certain way. For some of us, we may really like Lectio Divina. That for some personalities that are more structured, that may be great. For some of us, that may feel like it puts us in too much of a box. And so this week, we did imaginative prayer. For those of us, which by the way, all of us are creative. God created all of us with creativity and imagination. Some of us enjoy using it more. Maybe we feel more creative, whatever that might be. Imaginative prayer is great for those of you that want to sit down, use your creativity and imagine. Maybe you don't want a whole bunch of walls kind of boxing you in. And maybe you don't want to read. So imaginative prayer is a listening prayer, where we'll sit, and week two, we listened to Psalm 23. And as you listen, you use your creativity, your imagination, to think as though you're there in the story, walking on the water with Jesus, sitting down in green pastures, laying next to Jesus. Psalm 23 is about him being our good shepherd, that you imagine yourself in that. We introduced you to an app called Pray As You Go. And I'll introduce you again to it this week. And imaginative prayer is a led prayer because it's all about listening. And so in the back, there's a sheet for that week's prayer challenge. And that is to get that app on your phone or on your computer and try to once a day to listen to an imaginative prayer exercise. If you haven't done that, I encourage grab one. And maybe now that the series is over, you like take all four of them and you try a day of Lectio Divina and a day of imaginative prayer, or you figure out different creative ways. Week number three, we are in Psalm 51, again, another psalm, because psalms teach us to pray. And this was the most popular one that most of us will probably participate in or have before, called written prayer. Journaling prayer, writing prayer, whatever that looks like, right? Poetry, maybe even writing song lyrics. And this is all throughout Scripture, right? We have thousands of written prayers. Prayers from people that have been given down, passed down to us. And so in week number three, we were reminded of what does it look like to write down our prayers. Prayers can be praises, petitions, questions, requests, frustrations, joys. Written prayers can look a million different ways. And we split you guys up into groups, and you went through a whole bunch of some of the most powerful written prayers in Scripture. And you talked about what each prayer taught you about written prayer. And a lot of them are about praise. A lot of written prayer in the Bible is about asking God questions. A lot of written prayer in the Bible is crying out and just asking God for help. A lot of prayer is confession. Prayer where we write down our confessions as we did for the week back here on the cross. That one of the ways that we practice written prayer is many of you wrote down a written prayer of confession. And we put it on the cross as a symbol of saying, God, I want to give this to you. That confession can be a huge type of prayer that we can write, speak, say in our minds, lots of different ways. So this morning we are in week number four. And before we jump in to our final week, let me pray for us, but let me encourage us one more time to engage in this series. If you don't have a Bible, I would encourage you to grab a Bible in the back. If you don't have a bulletin, I would encourage you to grab a bulletin. If you haven't engaged in the series yet, maybe you've been here every week, maybe you've been here half the time, but you haven't engaged yet. I would encourage you to engage this morning, not just through listening, but by leaving this place and doing. That as you leave this morning, you grab a prayer challenge. There's this week's prayer challenge in the back too, which I'll introduce you to later today. And I would encourage you to pray this week, because prayer is important. So with that, let's pray as we enter in to week number four. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that this would not be a series where we simply just hear, but God, that this really would be a series that has been one where we hear in order to do. God, that we would learn what it is to pray and that we would have been introduced to some creative ways to pray. Lord, and maybe one of these four ways is a great way that some of us in this room connect with you. Lord, maybe we pick and choose from different parts of these prayer practices, because again, there's nothing special in and of themselves of these practices, but are simply tools and vehicles to help us engage a prayer life, a relationship with you. And that's my hope for myself. That's my hope for this group of high school students, that we would be people of prayerfulness. So God, I pray for that this morning. In your name, amen. Well, hey, raise your hand nice and high if you have ever been on an athletic team before. Nice and high. Who here has ever played sports before? Okay. Now, keep your hand raised if you have ever watched film of yourself playing a sport before. Okay. So those of you whose hands are raised, you've watched yourself on a TV screen or some sort of monitor watching yourself play a sport. Okay. Keep your hand raised if that's like the worst thing that is really embarrassing to do for you. Yes, most of us, right? So when I was in high school, I played football. I wasn't very good at football. I was little. I wasn't very aggressive. I think I just played to gain friends, but I did play football. And we would play football on Friday nights, probably similar to a lot of high schools still now, right? So on Friday nights, we would play football. And then on Saturday mornings, guess what we would do? We would watch film of Friday night's game. So every Saturday morning, we would meet back at the school. Now, if we won the game, we didn't have to go in until 10 o'clock to watch film. If we lost the game, we had to come in at 6 o'clock and watch film. So it kind of depended if we won or lost. But no matter what, win or lose, every Saturday morning, we ended up in seats like that, watching a big screen like that with all the team present. The coaches would sit up front with their laser pointers and their drawing and the big whiteboards. And we would sit for about 2 to 3 hours and just dissect the football game. Now, why do people do this? Does anybody know? You do it because this is how you get better, right? That the way you grow in a sport, an instrument, school, whatever, is you take a test and then you go back and you grade the test. So for football, a game is a test. For math, a math test is a test. For music, playing in front of people is a test. And then when you're done, what do? You go back and you say, hey, how did I play at that concert yesterday? I would love feedback. Hey, how was my football game yesterday? Hey, teacher, what grade did I get on the test, right? And you go through it. And so we would sit and we would go through Friday night's game film in order to figure out what we did well, what we did poorly. Corrective criticism is huge. All of us, although it's so hard, should be open to figuring out the ways that we can grow, that we can get better, right? Well, I loved that part of it because I feel like watching film made me a better football player. Watching film made me see all the little embarrassing things that I did, or I could watch him like, oh my gosh, I run so weird. If I could run straighter, I'd be faster, or whatever it is, right? So I liked the aspect of watching film because it made me better. What I didn't like of it was how embarrassing it was. Is that, man, and I knew this, I don't know if your coaches, for those of you who have watched film before, my coaches were brutal. Like, if you made a mistake, they would call you out in front of everybody. Everybody's watching it. They would use language that wasn't very biblical. And it would just, like, you would sit there, and you played the game, right? So you know, like, oh my gosh, in 2 minutes, there's that mistake coming up that I know I dropped that pass or I didn't listen to the coach right. You're like, oh my gosh. And you start to just like shiver up more and more. And then sure enough, that play comes up. And I remember just hearing my coach's voice, Chad! And I'd be like, oh no. And then he just like, right? Now, when they're making fun of other people, sometimes it's kind of funny. And you're like laughing along. You're like, yeah, you're an idiot. Why'd you do that? But when it's you, it doesn't feel as good, right? But again, we grow by examining ourselves. We grow by looking back at a football game or whatever it is in order to figure out how do we become a better football player. So this morning, week 4, we're going to be in Psalm 139. We're doing a prayer practice that is my favorite prayer practice. It's one that has been very life-giving to me. It's one that has helped me a ton. It's actually one that I was introduced to just about 2 years ago. It's a newer prayer practice that was introduced to me that, not to sound cliche or overly whatever, it's really actually changed my prayer life. This prayer practice out of the 4 that I have introduced to you is the one that I have connected with the most. All the practices that we have been introduced to this series, I've tried, and they all take time, by the way. Like, the examine prayer took me about a month or two to dive in. I did a couple month-long prayer challenges with the student leadership team back 2 years ago where we listened to the examine every night for a month straight. And at the end of that month, I just kept doing it. And I try to do the examine prayer every night. And I bet you 5 nights a week, I do the examine prayer every night before I go to bed. For whatever reason, this is the one I have connected to the best. And I think, knowing my personality, and everyone's personality is different, I think the reason why is because I like to sit back and examine my day. Just like in the football room, as embarrassing as that was, I liked watching film of myself because it made me better. As I saw myself play, it made me better. When I first started teaching, you want to know how I tried to figure out to become a better teacher? I videotaped myself in the back of the room. I had a little tripod. And I would put it on that back sound booth, and I would video my sermons on Sunday. It was so embarrassing. I learned that I said 100,000 times. I learned that I used to pace like this back and forth, which I still kind of do, but I've gotten better at it. And so I think I like the examine prayer because for me, I like to sit and reflect back on things in order to see my strengths and my weaknesses so I can grow. So the examine prayer, the pray as you go app, explains it this way, and I think they do it really well. They say, the examine prayer is a way to look back over our day to say thank you for the things which have gone well and to say sorry for the things which have not. By doing this daily, we'll become more aware of what God's doing in our lives. The examine kind of becomes a coaching kind of tool where you're sitting with God and you're asking him to coach you. God, as we sit and look over the day, Lord, what are the areas where I was distant from you? God, where were the areas where I brought you into my day? Where were the areas where I practiced love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control? And Lord, when were the times where I strayed away or I distanced myself? I want God to be my coach. As Christians, the Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of us. And do you guys know the primary role of the Holy Spirit is to guide us, is to lead us like a coach would? And so the examine prayer, you're sitting with God who knows all things, who is all powerful, the greatest coach in the world, saying, God, I want to be more like you. As Christians, the goal is to live a life like Jesus. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, down here on earth for us so that we could have an example to say, that's what I want to look like. And so we strive to live a life after our role model, Jesus. We strive to be like Jesus. What would Jesus do? And so the examine is a way to sit down every day and go over your day with the Lord. And I think that's why this prayer has resonated with me so much over the years, because it's a way for me at the end of each day to really look back and see, God, where were you in my day? And where did I exclude you from my day? So I want you to take out your Bibles, and we're going to be in Psalm 139. So open your Bibles to Psalm 139. Everybody should have a tangible Bible. If you don't, raise your hand high in the air, or you can go grab one in the back. There's Bibles in the back and a pen. I would encourage you to have a bulletin. You guys all know that you should have bulletins and Bibles. So for those of you guys like Mr. Holloman who come every week, this is not new news, but you guys should always have a tangible Bible, a pen, and a bulletin, because we engage, it's how we learn, and it's how we grow. So make sure you make a habit out of that as you come in on Sunday mornings. So you can open up your bulletin and follow along with us, but I also want you to open up your Bible. And if you don't have your own Bible, let me know. I'd love to buy you one. If you do have your own Bible, I would really encourage you to make that a habit. Bring your own Bible with you every Sunday. So you can mark it up. You can highlight things. There's a Bible station in the back so that you can then be in your Word at home as well. My hope is that you're not just opening up a Bible on Sundays, but you are throughout the rest of the week as well. Psalm 139. Let me read this. I want you to follow along. Again, highlight, underline the things as I read this. This psalm was introduced to me in 2001. I remember that because I was at a conference. I was going through a lot. My buddy introduced me to this psalm. And since I was introduced to this psalm, it has truly impacted and stuck out to me. And I think it is a psalm in and of itself that is great. I think it really ties into the examine prayer, and so it's why I picked it for us this morning. It's one of the more famous psalms by King David. All right, follow along as I read it out loud. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in and before, behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my beds in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. All right, a long psalm, and there was a lot there. And I want to break it down for us in three short, simple phrases when we read this psalm. Number one, he knows it all. When we read this psalm, we realize he knows it all. Go back to the beginning of it, and you'll see I kind of had fun with my Bible here, and I circled all the times at the beginning where he said you. And in the first part of it, you see that he says you about 10 or 11 times, and he says, you know me, you know when I sit, you know my thoughts, you know when I lay, you know when I stand, you know what's on my mouth before I speak it. Is that it is clear that Psalm 139 is saying he knows it all. God knows it all, which would make sense if he's omniscient. Because what does omniscience mean? All knowing. It's a big, like, fancy word. Next time you're in a talk with your Bible teacher or like a parent or whatever, say, yeah, well, God's omniscient. They'll think you're very smart. Omniscience is simply a word just saying he knows it all. God knows everything about us. That's the first thing I think that's important. And this is all going to tie back into the examine. So follow with me. And these are in your notes. So make sure you're taking bulletin notes this morning. Next. We can't hide. Not only does he know everything, but we also learn in the psalm that we can't hide. We can't go anywhere his spirit isn't or where he isn't present. He's in the heavens and the depths. He guides us anywhere and everywhere. That you'll see, I kind of then did a part two in my Bible. And again, this is why we give you guys highlighters and pens and all sorts of stuff. Engage in your Bible. Write. Put notes in it. Circle things that are of interest to you. So as I was studying it this week, I noticed that he goes from you, and then it goes to a lot of I's. So he's saying, God, you are. And now he switches and says, I can't go anywhere away from you. If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I go to the depths, you're there. If I go here, you're there. If I'm in joy, you're there. If I'm in badness, you're there. Whatever it is, David is recognizing, I can't hide from you. Now, do you know the omni word for this? So we have omniscience, which is all knowing. Omnipresent, which is that he's everywhere. God is everywhere. We can't hide from God. Now, for some of us, this is actually really exciting and gives us freedom. For some of us, we see this and we feel freedom that we can't hide from God. For others of us, this horrifies us, right? Now, for each of us, at any part of our life, we're going to fall on either side. There's parts of my life where I was distant from God, and the fact of him knowing that I can't hide from him terrified me, because there were things in my life I wanted to hide from him. I wanted to hide addictions. I wanted to hide sin. I wanted to hide things I was thinking in my heart. So there's times where this can be terrifying. But then there's times in my life, which I'm currently in, where I love the fact that I can't hide from him. It actually gives me a ton of freedom. So it may hit each one of us in this room a little bit different, and I would just be aware of how it hits you. The third phrase to kind of sum up is, so let's pray. So at the very end, the famous Psalm 139 verse says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, 23 through 24 is one of the most powerful, famous prayers in Scripture. Because if he knows everything, and if we can't hide from him, then we might as well pray to him, right? That he knows it all. He's there with us. So then let's sit down with him as we would my football coach on Saturday morning. And rather than trying to hide from my football coach because I know I've made mistakes, why not sit with God in prayer and be with him? Stop hiding. Stop trying to think that he doesn't know things. Stop trying to think that we know more than him. But let's stop and let's pray. So there's four components of the examine prayer. And all this from Psalms and everything I've been saying is going to start to tie together right now pretty quickly. So again, I want you to be keeping track of this in your bulletin because it's going to be important for us to follow along. So remember this, before we get into the four components, the examine, again, is just another creative prayer tool that we can use for this idea of sitting down and kind of studying, examining our day. So the examine is another tool to get at this idea of sitting with God and going through all day, our day. If he knows everything, if we can't hide from him, then let's sit and be with him. The examine will give us space not to hide, but to share. The examine gives us space for him to show up and show us the things maybe we didn't see. So when I would watch film with my football coach, there were mistakes I knew I made, right? But there were other things that he saw on the film that I didn't. Things that I didn't realize were a mistake. For those of you who have watched film, this makes sense, right? That you actually didn't know that maybe your posture was wrong or whatever it is, but your coach sees something that you don't. And so part of the examine prayer is that. So the examine is a tool for us to encounter looking back upon our day and seeing the ways that we were with God, the ways that we weren't. So let's break it down even more specifically. Here's the four components of the examine prayer. And I'm going to kind of include Psalm 139 in these as well because I think they make sense. Number one, review. So the first kind of important part about the examine prayer is to review. So the question might be, when did you feel close from God? When did you feel distant from God? So the whole part of the examine prayer is to simply sit down and review your day. What parts of your day do you feel you were close to him? What parts of your day do you feel distant to him? So for example, maybe you're in the car driving to school, and maybe a worship song comes on, and it's a song that you just really needed to hear. And as you're driving to school, you felt close to God in that moment. Maybe you're driving to school with a friend or your parents, and there's just a really good conversation that was encouraging and uplifting, and it just made you feel more alive and closer to God in that moment. As you look back on your day, that would be one of the things that you would review, that you would look at the times where you felt close to God. Then the opposite. When did you feel distant? Maybe it was after a third period. You're really frustrated at a friend of yours that maybe ignored you or whatever, and you sent them a text that was just super rude. God was nowhere in it. It was critical. It was assuming things that maybe weren't right. There was no grace in it. There was no empathy in it. There was no love in it. It was just a rude text. That as you're reviewing your day, you realize, you know what? That was a time where I was actually distant from God. That text in and of itself was a time where I didn't really bring God in to that part of my day. We see this in Psalm 139, verse 23, where it says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." The review part is simply this. During the review part, you're just saying, God, search me. Search my thoughts. When was I close to you? When was I distant from you? Number two is gratitude. Thank God for today's gifts. As you look back on your day, what from the day are you grateful for? Maybe an encouragement from somebody. Maybe a prayer that you've been praying for a long time. Maybe there's a friend in your life that you guys have just been distant. And you've just been praying, God, I really want that friendship to rekindle again. And maybe today was the day where it rekindled for some reason. Maybe you ran into each other at lunch and you had a good conversation and you left and you're like, oh my gosh, that was so good. That was an answer to prayer. What things from the day can you thank God for? What gifts did he give you? We see this in verse 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. For whatever reason, when David wrote this, he was grateful for God's works. He was grateful because he recognized that he is made perfect and wonderful. So maybe today you leave and you're reminded that you too are made perfect and wonderful. And maybe tonight when you do the exam in prayer, the thing you're grateful for is that you are wonderfully made. But during the prayer, when we look back at our day, what are the gifts that God gave us? It can be a million different things. The third part of this prayer is forgiveness. To say sorry to God. As you look back on your day, where did sin enter your life? Maybe there was a mistake that you made. Maybe you lied to your parents. Maybe it was a day where you cheated on a homework assignment. Maybe it was a day where you drank that first beer. Maybe it was a day where you told mom and dad that you hated them. Maybe it was a day where you gossiped about a friend and you told a secret that you knew you shouldn't have shared. The cool part of the exam in prayer is that we sit down and we say, God, will you forgive me for these things today? And so you say sorry to God for the things that you need to say sorry for. In verse 24, the first half of it says, see if there is any offensive way in me. That we would sit with God and say, God, will you show me? Because sometimes we actually can't even see our own sin, right? God, will you show me the things that I need to repent for? And you may know them. You may need the Holy Spirit to help you in the things that you need to say sorry for the day. The fourth one is petition. What do you need from God for tomorrow? Now that you've reviewed your day, you're going to start to look to tomorrow. Ask him for what you might need tomorrow. What's on your schedule? How do you need him to show up? There are times where when I do the exam in prayer, I'll actually go to my calendar and I'll see, oh man, I've got a lunch with somebody tomorrow that's going to be really challenging. Or my mom and I are meeting for dinner tomorrow night and I know that's going to be really hard for me because we're going to have a conversation that is going to stir all sorts of emotions in me. Or I have a test tomorrow. And I'm really nervous for that test. I'm going to get my permit tomorrow. I'm leaving for camp tomorrow with people I don't know. Million different things, right? And so now you petition to him for what you need from him. Because he's a God who's all powerful. He's a God who cares for us and loves us. And so we sit with him and we say, God, I need this from you tomorrow. God, will you be with me in this area? We see it in the second half of verse 24 where he says, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, as I look forward to tomorrow, will you lead me towards you? Will you lead me more to be like your son, Jesus? And so you ask him, you petition to him for the things that you need. Well, as we have done every week in this series, we are going to practice this prayer. So I'm going to get the lights turned off and dimmed down low, if we could go ahead and do that. And I'm going to ask you guys to spread out throughout the room. So if you guys would stand up from your chairs for me, put your Bibles down. You don't need anything. Again, one of the cool things about the examine prayer is that it's just you. It's more of a listening prayer like imaginative is. So I want you to stand up and then just go find a spot in the room. Now, if you want to pick a posture, you can. If you want to kneel, you can kneel. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to lay down, you can lay down. If you want to sit Indian style, you can sit Indian style. It does not matter to me. But I want you to find a quiet place. Now, there's a lot of ways, if you decide to practice this prayer at home, where you can do this. One, this is a self-guided prayer. So in the back, the prayer challenge for the week, there's actually like a paper like Lectio Divina where you can actually walk through those four steps yourself. And for those of you that like to write, you can write the examine prayer. For those of you that like to journal, this is a great journaling tool. That at the end of each night, you can just journal how God was in your day with you. Where did he show up? Where were you distant? What do you need to ask forgiveness for? What do you need tomorrow? Like there's somewhat of an easy structure to it, right? So you can do it that way. You can also listen to it audibly. So this one has a lot of creativity in it, which is why I like it. Because you can either do it yourself, written. You can also just sit in your bed and just verbally pray to God as a conversation. Hey, Lord, today I felt distant from you here. God, thank you for this. God, I need this from you tomorrow. Right? So you can do it that way. And then the third way is that you can actually audibly do it as well. Like imaginative prayer, you can actually listen to it. And so the prayer app I've introduced you to this week or this month called Pray As You Go has an examine prayer on it. It's the one that I use most of the time. They've got three different examples on it. They have a 5-minute version, an 8-minute version, and like a 12-minute version. All three of them I really like, and so it gives you some different creativity. We are today, if you'll look on there, there's one that says for like young adults or teens. It's 8 minutes. Did you find that one on there, Jordan? So we're going to do the young adult one, which is actually my favorite one. It's about 8 minutes long, and so that's how we're going to practice the examine prayer this morning. Now, again, lots of different ways to do it. If you like the prayer app, great. Use this. There's different types of it. I'm sure there's different prayer apps out there. You can journal it. You can pray it just out loud or in your mind as well. So the examine prayer has lots of different options for it. But this morning, we're going to do it from a guided audio because it's the way that selfishly I really like to do it. And so I thought it'd be good for us this morning. So we'll go ahead and play that. And then when we're all done, we'll slowly get back up and we'll come debrief together. Make sense? All right, here we go. Thank you for this series. God, I pray that this